Well, good evening, everybody. And interestingly, thank you, Gordon, for that introduction. In actual fact, when we come to our subject for tonight, the subject of leprosy, which is used in the scripture as a symbol for sin and undealt with sin, it really is something that it comes out quite a lot in that story as it unravels, particularly in regard to Amnon. And we're actually going to talk about that a little bit tonight. The laws of clean and unclean running from Leviticus 11 through 16, we've already looked at the laws that dealt with clean and unclean animals and some of the lessons that came out of that. The laws that dealt with the uncleanness of a woman after childbirth, as related in chapter 12, and the differences from a male child and a female child, and looking at some of the lessons that come out of there. And certainly in both Leviticus 11 and 12, we can see pictures of Christ, although I would agree with Gordon that it's difficult in some chapters to see such things. When we get to chapter 13 and 14, we have chapters that deal with leprosy. And obviously it's repulsive in a way. It's actually quite repulsive to read it, repulsive to look at it, and repulsive to talk about it. And that's why it's such an incredible symbol for sin. Sin in the eyes of God is repulsive. And flesh, without the influence or without being changed by the word of God, is repulsive. And there is nothing in our flesh that gives pleasure to God. And this is the lesson, really, the overriding lesson that we learn out of this, is that there's nothing about us as we are. And so it's about what God wants us to be. And so the laws of leprosy were, as the other laws are, firstly practical and secondly spiritual. And you could reverse that if you like, but they're certainly practical and spiritual. It was practical because leprosy is infectious. It's a living death. It's a disease that is always advancing. There's no point of when you have leprosy where it's static, it's doing nothing. It is incurable. We should say in Bible times it was incurable. It's not incurable today at all. It's debilitating. It's deforming. It's ugly. And it's fatal. And the gestation period can be anywhere from 5 years right through maybe 20 years from the time that somebody had contact with a leper until its ugly manifestation comes out. And so this death resides in the person without them being able to see it until it emerges. And as I said before, it is a symbol in the scriptures of unforgiven sin. We're certainly not going to deal with everything in chapter 13 because that would take many classes, but we're going to deal with the first, we'll see how we go, maybe the first 20 verses, but just in sections. Well, what is leprosy? When we look at what leprosy is today, or Hansen's disease as it's called, it may not be exactly the same as what is being referred to in the Bible. Certainly what the scripture refers to is clearly a number of different diseases. It probably includes leprosy, almost for sure includes leprosy as we have it today, because it was a disease that was an issue of in their area at their time. But it also includes diseases, other infectious skin diseases. Most of us would think of leprosy, in fact, as a skin disease when it is not. Leprosy is a nervous system disorder, not a skin disease. And so it ends up manifesting itself as a skin disease, but it starts off as a nervous system disorder. And what it does is it's working away inside of us, just like sin, quietly, unbeknownst to the person, and it begins by killing nerves. It's very gradual. And at first, the first signs of it would be that you hadn't noticed that something brushed against you, or you didn't have quite the same amount of feeling and touch as you thought you had before. You wouldn't even be sure. And it grows from there. And so it's a loss of sensation. And because of the loss of sensation, other complications arise, and there's a number of different sorts of leprosy, and some of them are more externally manifested, some of them affect organs, etc., etc. And that probably doesn't really matter for what we're dealing with tonight. It is spread from person. It's generally speaking believed to be, and it's still not 100% understood as of our era, but it's believed to be multiple close contact and basically droplets from the upper respiratory tract, which for a carpenter just means somebody coughed on you. As I said before, it starts from an imperceptible beginning, and it leads with a complete loss of sensation in the affected area. It starts at the extremities. It starts on the inside, and it ends up on the outside. The exterior signs are manifestations of what is going on inside. Infectious skin diseases, including diseases like elephantiasis, would be clearly covered under what is being talked about in Leviticus 13. Because as you go through the whole chapter, you can see that they're talking about all sorts of different kind of gross manifestations, some of which would be leprous and some of which would not. But it becomes an apt symbol for sin when you consider alongside of each other the practical and the spiritual counterparts. And we're going to go through a number of these side by side and with some Bible verses and try and draw some lessons. Leprosy is considered, or was considered, it still is to a degree by some people, considered to be hereditary, although it's probably hereditary because of association. They still know, there doesn't seem to be any absolute definition on that from what I've read, but certainly if you grow up in a house with somebody who is a leper, you are associated with them, so you are likely to get it. And so David makes the comment about Joab, I think he says, may there never be anyone who isn't a leper or someone who leans on a staff. Is that, I think, if I got that right? He's looking at it as a hereditary thing. And so certainly from Bible times it was considered to be hereditary and still is in some circles. When we think of that as the spiritual counterpart for that, sin is hereditary, isn't it? Romans 5 speaks to us in many verses as we go through Romans 5 about the hereditary nature of sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so this, as leprosy would pass on from in the various families, either because of the hereditary nature or by association, so sin passes from one generation to the next, and on down to our time, and Romans 5, Paul goes through that in many verses through there. On a practical note, once contamination has occurred, the leprosy bacteria has lodged inside of a person. The bacteria is in there and it will be manifested later on. And so it is with sin. At once we have taken in to ourselves and absorbed some form of evil. It's inside of us and it is waiting to be manifested at the appropriate time. And so we could, the reference that I made to Jonadab that was in yesterday's reading, about this character who was subtle, it says, who sowed this seed in Amnon's mind about how he could get his way with his sister. And this seed was lodged into his mind and he chewed it over and he kind of liked the sound of it. And then it manifested itself in the disgraceful act that Amnon committed. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and he says, from the New American, he says, bad company corrupts good morals. And so if we immerse ourselves in amongst a culture of people that is continually putting contaminants, spiritual contaminants into our lives, then it will manifest itself in the works of the flesh, just like the leprosy would eventually manifest itself in disgraceful outbreaks. Also in, let's go over to this one in Matthew chapter 7, speaking of how leprosy is really an internal disease but manifested externally. Jesus says, Matthew 7 from 15, he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so we could have somebody, you know, in front of us. I could be this person who is a carrier of leprosy. I've taken the contaminant in. I look like I'm clean, but actually I'm not clean. And so leprosy is again this amazing symbol for sin. Jesus goes on saying, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And it's not possible for it to do anything else, he says. And so eventually that which is inside, if what is inside of us is sin, then eventually that will be manifested. And this is one of these practical lessons that has this the practical aspect of leprosy that has this spiritual lesson that springs from it. Turn over to Hebrews 3, and the next point is that the beginnings of leprosy are almost imperceptible because there's no day that you wake up and all of a sudden you didn't have sensation in your hands. It's much more gradual than that. And so it is with sin. Hebrews 3 and 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so as sin is deceitful, as we ourselves work on ourselves to deceive ourselves, so that some of the things that we engage in and maybe activities that we engage in or places that we go, we deceive ourselves into thinking that these things are acceptable, and we become desensitized. And Paul writes a couple of appropriate things that deal with this desensitization, whereas in the practical, the nerve endings became desensitized, ending up with a total loss of sensation. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 2, he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And this is, I read my second verse first. This is, of course, dealing with the complete desensitization. After a while, if we you know, if we abrade an area on our skin long enough, we'll get calloused, and after a while we don't feel it. And so it was with this disease of leprosy, that gradually, bit by bit, their nerve endings would be desensitized. Paul writes to the Ephesians in 4 and 19, and he says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And some of these things we read and we think, well, that would never happen to a brother or a sister, you know, to get so far from the truth, so far from a good conscience towards God. And yet it never happens in a big jump. It always happens little bit by little bit. And so it is with this horrible disease. Leprosy is progressive, and eventually it will affect the whole body. And sin too is insatiable. Sin has an endless appetite, and the flesh. And Paul, again writing to Timothy, he says that evil men will wax worse and worse. And he speaks to this aspect of sin, that sin is never static. Sin wants to go from one thing to the next thing and on. And so he really, what is being impressed on us is this horrible aspect of sin. And God really wants us to understand how he views it, not to be beaten down by it, but then to be empowered that we need to see it for what it is and see it the way God sees it. James writes in 3 and 6, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature." And so again, he writes to this same idea. The law treated leprosy as highly contagious. And again, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, speaking of sin. Leprosy was normally incurable without the intervention of God, or without the intervention of modern medicine, which is really only in the last 120 years. Leprosy was incurable. And of course we know that sin, that and the problems that come from sin, our mortality, is incurable. Without an act of God, then and again we see how the spiritual becomes such a good type taken off of the practical. Paul writes to Romans in chapter 7, he says, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And you know, brothers and sisters, we all know if it wasn't for God, for the plan that he had from the beginning, and for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the answer would be nobody. And we would be stuck, as it was for the leper, in a situation that was incurable. Leprosy led to death. The sufferer might have suffered for 20 or 30 years in some cases, but it would inevitably lead to death. And Paul, in writing to the Romans in chapter 6, of course, says that the wages of sin is death. And lastly, man could do nothing about it. Man could do nothing to cure this condition and the result of this condition once he had contracted leprosy. And the Lord says, when the disciples come to him and they, he's speaking about rich men. He said it's very hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. And they came to him with some disbelief. And Christ says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so it was with leprosy. Impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so when we think of the person, and we read those first few verses out of Leviticus 13, we think of the person who woke up one morning and they weren't sure that the sensation in their hand was just how it had been before. And they looked at their skin and they saw there was some marks on their skin. And I think most of us would have gone in denial. I think we would have worn long sleeves and maybe gloves, because you wouldn't want to face up to the possibility that you had this living death, that you were going to be ostracized because of it. And so from a physical point of view, imagine the self-examination that somebody would have done if they had suspected that they had leprosy. You imagine every morning when they got up, they'd have looked. Is it going away? Is it a boil? Is it getting worse? And so it speaks to us strongly of self-examination. And this is the self-examination that God wants us to do in regard to sin. He doesn't want us to just gloss over sin and not worry about the ugly appearance of outbreaks of flesh in our lives. He wants us to examine ourselves in the way that the sufferer would have examined themselves. And I think if we think about it from a practical way, it actually drives that lesson home a lot harder than when we think about it purely from a spiritual point of view. And you can imagine that if the priest, they'd gone to the priest and the priest had have been not sure and had have said, I'm going to send you home for 7 days. All those 7 days they'd have looked and they'd have looked and they'd have been working to try and get the sensation back again. They'd have done anything to try and reverse that curse of living death. And so when we come together and examine ourselves, and if we have time, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 11. This is the type of self-examination that Paul is encouraging us to do and that the scripture encourages us to do. It's a life and death examination, brothers and sisters, isn't it? Are we really seeing ourselves the way that we need to see ourselves? Again, not to be despondent, but leprosy is a symbol of unforgiven sin, unconfessed, that it's breaking out from inside and it's not being dealt with. And we as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course have opportunity to do something about our sin and therefore to do something about our leprosy. Well, let's have a look at the, go to Leviticus chapter 13. We'll have a look. There's four cases that he deals with in the first 13 verses. The first case, verse 1 to 3, he deals with early stages requiring close examination. From verse 4 to 8, he deals with doubtful cases requiring time. 9 to 11, he deals with obvious cases requiring no more inspections. And from verse 12 and 13, he deals with a case that looks like leprosy, but it's not. So that first section then, from the first three verses, deals with the early stages of leprosy, requiring examination, careful examination that we've spoken about. He says in the third verse there, that halfway down it says, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh. And so here he's dealing with, in analogy, ingrained sin. This is not on the surface. This is deeper than the skin. Not a lot of manifestation on the outside, but this is a sign of a deeper problem, and it needs to be examined. And so the scriptures encourage us to examine both ourselves and to examine our doctrine. And John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4, he says from verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And he goes on in verse 6, he says, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us, but he that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so he's speaking of examining doctrine. Jeremiah, writing to the people, encourages them to, readers and hearers, to examine themselves. And he writes from in chapter 17 that the heart of man is desperately evil. Desperately evil. And so what would we expect to spring out of the inside of man? Only something ugly, unless we have that has been moderated by the word of God. And Matthew 7, as we talked about, the tree, by their fruit you shall know them. And so these early stages of this early stage of leprosy, with a physical manifestation on the outside, required an examination. It wasn't much to see, but it was there, and it was evidence that there was a problem deep within. And so it in Leviticus 13, he writes that when these particular signs are there, the signs of ingrained sin, that the plague is now deeper than the skin, he said it is leprosy, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. And the key there, of course, is where he says that it's deeper than the skin. And of course, the way the text reads is almost as if the leprosy is coming from the outside and going in, when in actual fact we know that leprosy is contracted through the respiratory system. The second section then, he deals with, from verse 4 through 8, he deals with these doubtful cases that require time. And in verse 4, he has a look, and at the end it says, "And the hair is not turned white halfway down, and the priest shall shut up him that has the plague 7 days. And then he's going to look at him on the 7th day. And if he's still not sure, then he's going to shut him up another 7 days. And so in these doubtful cases, there's signs. It looks like leprosy. And we come back to this idea again, and this idea runs right through everything to do with leprosy, this idea of examination, of self-examination. And, of course, later on when it's dealing with the garments, next chapter, in chapter 14, when it's dealing with the house, examining the house. It's all about examining. And this doubtful case needed to be examined. Let's keep your finger there, because we're going to jump back a few more times into Leviticus. But come over to Timothy again. You know, it's not surprising when we go that we find a lot of links into the New Testament, because of course the New Testament writers drew all these lessons that we're talking about tonight. They drew all these together as a basis for what they wrote. 1 Timothy 5 and 24, he says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest before, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." And so on the subject of sin, he's saying that some of it's obvious. You know, an outbreak like in the first section, verse 1 to 3, it's obvious it was leprosy. It could be declared and dealt with. The next one, not so sure. It needed to be examined. English Standard Version renders that the sins of some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. We can see that links it very strongly back to this idea of leprosy. Couple of verses quickly out of 1 Corinthians 4. And 5, it says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And so he's speaking about what is inside being. It's not something that we can do. We can't go around and judge one another. These are judgments, or these are examinations that we need to apply to ourselves. Not to look over to our brother or our sister and say, oh, I think that little outbreak on your arm there is leprosy. And so these doubtful cases, verse 4 and 5, speak to us very particularly of self-examination, as do the others. Chapter 3, verse 11, he says, I think we'll skip that for the time being, for time's sake. I'm going to go back to Leviticus 13. That section is great, actually. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 through like 15. It deals with that in regard to those doubtful cases requiring time. But the other half of that in that section is, it says there in verse 4 that when the priest looks and he's not sure, he shuts him up 7 days. And after 7 days, he's re-examined. And then after 7 days again, if he's still not sure, he's re-examined. And so it speaks to us of what we do, isn't it? Week by week, every 7 days, we come together and we sit and we examine ourselves. We take the exhortation of the Apostle Paul that he writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we examine ourselves, and we examine ourselves hopefully more often than 7 days, but particularly every 7 days as we're exhorted by Paul. And so perhaps it's a lesson that we can take out of this, what the priest had to do here, that he would examine him at these intervals of 7 days, and we see this in regard to the cleansing of a leper too. That the examinations would be every 7 days. Also, perhaps symbolic of the world, that on God's examination with Adam and Eve was shut up for 7 days, and it will be examined again at the end of the seventh day, or the end of the seventh millennium, and of course it will be found to be cleansed by Christ. From verse 9 then, in Leviticus chapter 13 through 11, he deals with obvious cases requiring no further inspection. And verse 9, he says, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and has turned the hair white, and there's quick raw flesh, it's an old leprosy. There's nothing to talk about. He's unclean. The priest doesn't have to look at it again. He doesn't have to shut him up. He's got leprosy. And the key that is where it talks about the raw flesh. And of course, flesh is used in the Bible right through, isn't it? From cover to cover, as a symbol for that which is within us, which is ungodly, which is not amenable. To flesh has to be overcome by the spirit. And so what we see here is we see raw flesh. The priest is looking at raw flesh, and it's ugly. And he can say right away that this is leprosy, and it needs to be dealt with. And so Paul, again, in writing to the Corinthians, he deals with the man who's taken his father's wife, and he says, I don't have to come to tell you what I think of this situation. He says, this is raw flesh. 2 Chronicles 26, we have the incident with Uzziah, where he's struck with leprosy for attempting to do the sacrifice. And he's struck with leprosy. This was raw flesh, and it was right in his forehead. God struck him right at the seat of his thinking. And Miriam in Numbers chapter 12, the same thing. It was raw flesh. And it didn't have to be examined twice. It didn't have to be, you know, let's go home and look at this next week. And that's what we see in Leviticus chapter 13 in that third section there. Obvious cases requiring no further inspection. And we see that in ourselves, don't we, brothers and sisters, where we can't kid ourselves. Gordon gave us an example in the life of David. He didn't have to go to the priest, and the priest had to do an inquiry and try and work out whether it was right or wrong. It was wrong. It was flesh. It was sin. And it was a clear case. But the fourth case that he deals with in Leviticus chapter 13 in verse 12 and 13 is a case that looks like leprosy, but it isn't. And it's a very strange section, actually. If you've, I'm sure many of you have looked at verse 12 and 13 and been very bewildered. Well, maybe I was the only one. Because he says here that if the leprosy breaks abroad in the skin and the leprosy cover all the skin of him who has the plague from head to foot, wherever the priest looks and the priest considers and behold, the leprosy has covered all of his flesh, he's clean. And you look at that and you think that's got to be the most bizarre thing you've ever read. Because now his whole body is covered in leprosy from head to toe and now he's clean. He doesn't have to be outside of the camp. He doesn't have to cry unclean. And so what is that all about? Well, there's a couple of things. Firstly, it's not leprosy. Because what the law is dealing with here, it's dealing with leprosy, and it's dealing with a series of conditions. It's using the term leprosy as a broad brush. This is not leprosy, according to quite a lot of stuff that I've read. Likely a condition that they call dry tetter. It's not contagious, but it is chronic. And it does turn the sufferer white. If it's leprosy, then verse 14 says, but when raw flesh appears in him, he will be unclean. And so if it's leprosy, then there will be outbreaks of raw flesh. There will be, because of the desensitization, there will be parts of the body that will eventually drop off. There will be sores and kind of gross. But like I said at the beginning, all of the laws of uncleanness are practical as well as spiritual. And so at a practical level, this is dealing with a condition that looked leprous but was in fact not leprous and not contagious. And if there was no sign of raw flesh, that is an absolute that this is not leprosy as we know it. It also potentially could speak of Christ. Because Christ had our nature, and so he looked leprous. He had the nature that we had, and yet when you went inside, there was no sin. There was no eruptions of flesh. There was no raw flesh showing. And if we had time, which we don't, we could go to Hebrews 4, but we know that it says that he bore our nature yet without sin. And so perhaps that little section there is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, one who would bear our nature but not have the manifestations of sin breaking out from within, because in fact there was no sin. So in our last 60 seconds or so, from verse 14 through 16, he deals with this raw flesh. When we looked at chapter 11, going back whenever it was, a year or so ago, God had told them in chapter 11, 44, he says, I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify or set yourselves apart, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with all manner of creeping things. And so what God wanted his nation to do and for you and I to do, brothers and sisters and young people, is he wanted to raise us up above our flesh, above the things of this life, to holy things, to the places in which he dwells. And no flesh can glory in his presence. And so raw flesh, the appearance of raw flesh in Leviticus chapter 13 was an absolute sign that sin was present. And flesh always symbolizes raw human nature without the influence of the spirit. And so then the lesson of leprosy, boiling it down in brief, is that all flesh is abhorrent to God, and without Christ to do something about our condition, we are indeed in a hopeless and a pitiable state. Pitiable. And so to finish then, we're going to take a reading from Romans 8, because we're not in a pitiable state because we do have Christ. And in writing to the Romans, Paul says, "There is now therefore no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so I think there's many, many more lessons there, but certainly enough there to give us something to think about as we go through some of those chapters that are a little bit gross, a little bit distasteful, but there was a lot of amazing lessons in there for them and for us to think about.